But here to break down for one final time before all this thing is going to go on, we've had him on before. He is, as I've said, the best tape breakdown guy in the city. He works for PhiladelphiaEagles.com. He has two great podcasts, Eagles Eye to the Sky and Journey to the Draft. He is Fran Duffy, and he's joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's going on, Fran?
What's happening, Jeff?
Now, this must be like a cathartic night for you. I know you're trying to get to bed early, so I won't keep you. You got a lot of stuff ahead. But, I mean, you know, the night before the draft, is all your work is done. You know what you like about guys. You know what you don't like about guys. So it's kind of, you know, the calm before the storm for you, right?
Yeah, you know, it's an exciting time. You know, and it's weird because, obviously, with the, you know, I'm worried about who's going to end up in Philadelphia, right, first and foremost. But you know, you watch all these players all year round, and you start feeling attached to a lot of them. And then, you know, you see a Byron Jones get drafted in the first round by the Dallas Cowboys, or a Brandon Scherff go in the first round to the Washington Redskins. And it's like, well, this guy is a guy that I'm going to be seeing twice a year on the opposite sideline. So it's a great feeling. It's a lot of fun to see all that work kind of come to an end. But it's an exciting day. It's an exciting 3 days.
Wow, it definitely is. And it's going to be an interesting one for the Eagles because of this just rare scenario where, you know, they won the Super Bowl, so they're picking with the last pick in the first round. And yet they also, because of moves they made to win a Super Bowl, don't have a second or a third round pick. The first question I really have for you is, we know that there's probably going to be four or five quarterbacks taken in the first round of the draft, and there'll probably be a few cornerbacks, which is not an area I think the Eagles would really heavily target, although you never know. So to me, that's a good thing for the Eagles because it pushes other positions that they'd probably like to invest in down toward them that might ordinarily go higher in the draft. So as you get to the bottom of the first round, what position do you see that might be a great one to capitalize on because ordinarily a guy might have gone higher, but he fell because of the number of other positions that went ahead?
Well, what's going to be interesting is to see, and you know how this goes in this process, is that, you know, there's going to be clusters of guys. There's going to be runs at some point, you know, throughout the course of the first round. You know, last year with the Eagles picking at 14, I don't think anybody expected that all three receivers were going to go, not just before 14, but right in the top 10 of the top 10 of the draft. So it'll be interesting to see. There are certainly groups of certain positions that there's really significant depth in this draft in the first round. You look at interior offensive line, there are a lot of really talented players that could play guard and center. You look at those receivers, any combination of Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore and Christian Kirk and Cortland Sutton, all those guys could go before the Eagles pick, or all four of them could be on the board when the Eagles pick. So you know, you look at how all those different things play out. I think if you look at receiver, I think you look at corner, interior offensive line, and then probably I would say linebacker as well. There's four guys, you know, potentially a fifth, but definitely four linebackers that I think are in the mix there. Two that are certainly going to be in the top 15. Mm-hmm. And then you get to Leighton Vander Esch and Rashawn Evans from Alabama, and you're talking, okay, are those guys going to be there when the Eagles are on the clock at 32?
Interesting, because you didn't mention running back, and that seems to be a very popular mock projected position, not even player, but just position for the Eagles at 32.
Yeah, and I think when you look, obviously, we know Saquon Barkley is going to go in the top five of this draft. He's not falling out of the top five. And then after that, you know, it's a discussion between Darius Geis. You've got Sony Michel from Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then Ronald Jones, I think the shine off of that diamond has kind of worn off a little bit because he didn't work out at the combine. He got hurt running the 40-yard dash. So we didn't get to see him go through a full workout. And so the buzz is kind of quieted on him a little bit. But you look at all of those running backs, and there's a lot of talent there that's going to be coming off the board in the top 40 picks. So it's going to be interesting. It certainly has been one of the more mocked positions to the Eagles between Darius Geis and then lately Sony Michel.
Well, let me ask you, for what the Eagles do, we're talking with Fran Duffy, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, on Twitter, at FDuffy3, correct?
Yep, correct.
All right. Of those running backs, I actually like Ronald Jones. And again, I don't pretend to be an expert, but I feel like, you know, 15 years of covering it, I might have a little bit of a clue. I like Ronald Jones and what specifically for his fit in Doug Peterson's offense. Of those running backs that you mentioned, Jones, Sony Michel, or Michael, Geis, I'm trying to think if there was a fourth that really stuck out to me. But either of those three, is there one that you think fits the Eagles' offense the best?
Well, I think when you look at the Eagles' offense, it's something you and I have talked about it before, is just how multiple they are.
That's
in terms
true.
Of the run game. There's so many different schemes that they utilize. So really, I can envision scenarios where all three of them are able to fit in and fit in nicely. You know, you look at Darius Geis, so many of the runs that the Eagles used with LeGarrette Blount last year, you know, those inside
zones,
you get Darius Geis going downhill. I've said it before, he's a tone setter for an offense in terms of his competitiveness and the anger with which he runs. Then you look at Sony Michel. When you get this kid out in space, he's got an excellent vision with the ball in his hands. He's not a super explosive back. Like Ronald Jones, I think, is more naturally explosive. But Michel has really good vision out in space. Mm-hmm. He catches the ball well. He's a really good pass protector. He's the best blocker of the three guys. So he does a lot of the little things well. He's not as talented as an interior runner as those two. And then you go to Ronald Jones, and you get him on those outside zone runs. You get him on those sweep plays that we see the Eagles run as well, where they're able to get that running back outside the offensive line and get him in space. I think Ronald Jones on those kind of perimeter runs can be very, very good. And he's gotten comparisons to Jamal Charles, a player who enjoyed a lot of success under Doug Peterson when he was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. So I can envision scenarios, honestly, where all three guys fit in very nicely here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you know, and you made a great point about the adaptability of Doug to different running backs that we saw last year. And, you know, not to blow any smoke up the coach's rear end, but I think in other regimes, right, we could sit here and talk about a running back and say, nope, they would never draft him because of, or a linebacker, nope, wouldn't draft him, or a D-end even, nope, because of. And I feel like with Doug and with Joe Douglas and Howie here and what they've been able to do as a trio and bring in so many different kinds of players that you know, outside of maybe you're not going to get a 3-4 outside linebacker for a 4-3 scheme, but outside of that, they're very adaptable, and that makes them open to a lot more talent than maybe some other coaches who are a little set in what they want at certain positions.
And it's an interesting philosophy, Jeff, because, you know, some people will look at saying, okay, we want specific things at every position and look at that as a way to kind of whittle down the draft board from 1,000 names to, you know, 150 guys, 200 guys by the time draft weekend comes. But when you play the way that the Eagles do, both on offense and defense, and you're trying to leverage all of the biggest strengths from each player on your roster, now you're saying, okay, you're allowing Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas and Andy Weidel and the entire personnel staff to just go and find the best players. Mm-hmm. You know, you go find the best players and we're going to make best use of them. And I think that is a really smart way to go about things. And the Eagles on both sides of the ball last year especially were able to really kind of harness all the top strengths from all these guys. You look at those running backs, you know, they were able to put them in position to gain positive yards. And there were different runs with all the guys, and they all kind of specialized one way or another without, you know, being able to tip their hand too easily as well. I thought it was a really, just sort of a masterful job by both sides of the coaching staff.
No doubt. Talking with Fran Duffy, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, does the Path to the Draft podcast, does the Eagles Eye in the Sky podcast. Great breakdown of both NFL and college prospect tape. Fran, you mentioned the wide receivers, Ridley, DJ Moore, Courtland Sutton. Which one of them is your, particularly for you, is your favorite guy?
Well, I think when you look at Courtland Sutton, he brings a different dimension than the other three guys.
I like
that. That being said, I do like the other guys a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But Sutton he's got that big body, you know. And when you've got size, that's something that you can't teach. So that's something that can be kind of his X factor in this draft. But you know, to me, you look at Calvin Ridley, and I think he's probably the most finished product of those guys. He's a technician as a route runner. He's very good with his releases off the line of scrimmage. There are a couple drops here and there, but this is a guy who can impact the game vertically down the field, but then also in screen passes. He's very good with the ball in his hands. I think a lot of natural traits that are comparable to Nelson Agholor. He can play inside and outside. Calvin Ridley, to me, is my favorite receiver in this class. But you know, if you had asked me this a year ago, I'd say, yeah, without question, he's number one. Mm-hmm. But that was before I really got eyes on DJ Moore and extensive eyes on Christian Kirk, who has really improved so much over the course of the last 3 years. All four of those guys, I think, are viable options in the first round. And then guys that are very tight, close together. Christian Kirk and DJ Moore, I think, present similar, you know, traits as well in terms of having that versatility to play inside, outside. Very good after the catch. Slightly different body types, but mm-hmm. again, you're talking about guys that are really good route runners, reliable at the catch point, tough, they can block. All three of these guys, I think, are really, really impressive.
I thought I saw some tape of Sutton running in the slot at SMU, making plays from there, and I thought that was weird to see such a big body guy in there. Am I mistaken on that, or have you seen that as well?
No, yeah, they'll move him in there, especially, you know, we've seen that with the Eagles in the past.
That's true, they did that with Elshon, yeah.
Yeah, you move some big bodies into the inside and try and get some favorable matchups, you know, to create some space to work. And SMU, they had a couple of really talented receivers this year, so they like to do that a little bit with Sutton, especially when they ran fades down the field from him in the slot.
Let me ask you this, Fran. A lot has been made of the fact that the Eagles have a lot of cornerbacks and cornerback depth there, but maybe not someone who is naturally a nickel to fill that important role that Patrick Robinson played spectacularly last year. Do you see that as well? I mean, you evaluate both pro and college. Do you think the Eagles lack a natural nickel, and would there be one in this draft? And obviously you would do that in the later rounds that you think, or do you think that's a position they might look to target?
Well, I think that they lack a proven one. You know, I think that you can look at some of these guys and say that, yeah, you know, you can envision Jalen Mills taking significant reps inside. You can look at Ronald Darby and see him taking reps. Sidney Jones did it a little bit at Washington. You could see him doing it as well. So to me, it's a matter of guys that maybe they haven't done it at the NFL level. That being said, this draft is chock full of guys that have both experience doing it and are very talented at playing inside the slot. And not just early, but also in the middle rounds and late. You know, all the big names, we talked about some of these guys, Jair Alexander from Louisville, Mike Hughes from Central Florida. I'm a big, big fan of the way that he plays the game. Dante Jackson from LSU. Those are guys that are going to go in the top 40, top 50 picks, and they have that inside-outside experience, and that's going to serve them very well. But then you get into day two, and you get into day three, and there's, you know, DJ Reed from Kansas State and Duke Dawson from Florida and Teron Johnson from Weber State, MJ Stewart from North Carolina, Matt Collins, former teammate, I'm a huge, huge fan of. So, you know, there are a number of players that have that inside, that experience in the slot. Mm-hmm. And I think when you've got that, it's very easy to say, okay, you know what, this guy, he's got the ability to do it at the next level, because it used to be kind of an afterthought and your best corner stayed on the outside at the college level. But now you're kind of seeing that more at that level of competition, is that, you know, these guys, they're going to, when they go into nickel, you're going to see them slide inside. You've got more tape of them being able to do it for the NFL projection.
Sure. I feel like an Eagle fan should have probably more education on this than maybe some other teams because of the lineage here, going back from, you know, you can go back to Al Harris to then Joselio Hansen to, you know, Patrick Robinson. And there's someone in between whose name just escaped me as a good nickel. But, I mean, they've always seemed to have guys. I mean, whoa, Sheldon Brown would slide in to the nickel, as you know, earlier in his years when guys came outside. So we know how important the position is. I got to tell you, though, I don't want to see Sidney Jones moving inside at all, ever. That guy, to me, I feel like he's like an outside corner, your lockdown cover corner. You know, I mean, he might be a physical player, but please, please, you know, keep him outside against those speed demons and those big physical receivers.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see just how, you know, the group as is, how it's able to shake out, because all three of them, I think, bring a certain element that I think would go really well in the slot. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, definitely. Brandon Boykin, that's the name I couldn't think of. So they have a good lineage of that. I wanted to get into this with you because it's like mind-boggling to me. And we're talking with Fran Duffy, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, at FDuffy3. The quarterback thing here. So we're going to I want to bring the Eagles into this because I've contended that if the Giants at number two pass on Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, I even like Josh Allen, to be honest with you, I think that they're doing themselves a huge disservice. And that's great for the Eagles, because if they take Barkley, and you know I'm a Penn State alum, you know I'm a Penn State fan, I would have given Saquon his first baby if I could have, but I can't, right? I still think that a matter of principle is you don't ever want to be picking in the top three ever. So if you have that rare opportunity, you take a franchise quarterback when he's there.
I 1,000% agree with you. It's the early pivotal point of this draft. We know that a quarterback is going to go number one, but really what's going to help all these other dominoes fall is going to be what the New York Giants do. And for them to stay at number two and take a player like Saquon Barkley, you know, who is obviously a great talent, you know, a Bradley Chubb who's a great talent, a Quentin Nelson who's a great talent, as opposed to trading down a few spots, getting future picks, and still potentially getting one of those three players, I think would be very, very interesting. Or, you know, passing, you know, saying you're going to take a franchise quarterback. Best case scenario for the Eagles is obviously that the player that the Giants select, you know, doesn't pan out.
Right.
But outside of that, I would say staying put and not getting extra picks both this year and next year, and still getting that player is probably the next best scenario.
I mean, you want if you tell me that the next year starts and the Giants still have a 37-year-old quarterback and the Redskins still have Alex Smith at whatever age he is, I'm thinking this is great for the Eagles' future, man. I mean, they can score points too, but they can also play D, so I would feel really good about that. The question of the other quarterback link to the Eagles I want to ask you about is Lamar Jackson, because there was a time that I felt that he could be there at 32, and what a great opportunity that would be for the Eagles to trade down for someone looking to trade up to 30 into back into the first round to get that fifth-year option on a quarterback. The more the time has passed, the more I think Lamar Jackson is going top 20.
So this week on our Journey to the Draft podcast, we did an exercise where we talked with reporters in all the cities that are represented in the first 31 picks of the draft leading up to the Eagles pick. And I was interested to see how many times Lamar Jackson's name would come up, because the task was, who do you think that your team is going to select? And anywhere from pick 11 to pick 29 with Pittsburgh, Lamar Jackson's name came up more often than not. And I really think that it's very unlikely to me that he would be there when the Eagles are on the clock at 32, which obviously, like you said, it's not ideal. I know the last time you and I spoke, we had talked about that possibility.
Right.
If he were to fall to 32 and the Eagles could kind of hold that up as the token for somebody else to trade up. But, you know, I think that there are going to be other positions where the Eagles have that opportunity. You know, there might be a big time outside corner. There could be an interior offensive line with the contracts those guys are getting these days, hitting the open market, being able to lock one up for an extra year might be advantageous for a team. It'll be interesting to see what they're able to do, if they're able to do anything in terms of being able to move down from 32, or if they decide, hey, you know what, this player is too good to pass up on, let's stay put and pull the trigger.
All right, last one for you. On the long same lines, do you think that Mason Rudolph could be the Lamar Jackson, or is the evaluation that you see on tape just not there, that someone's going to want to trade up to 32 to get him?
I would be very, very surprised. We've seen this a lot in recent years, Jeff. You know, Davis Webb last year, who everyone thought could sneak in the first round, he went in the third round. We saw it, in past years. Tom Savage coming out of Pitt. It's happened in years past where a guy kind of gets flown up the board late in the process. Look, he's a great kid, Mason Rudolph, and someone that everybody's going to root for. I just don't know that he's going to be talked about as one of the top 32 prospects in the draft. I would be surprised. I hope that's the case, but I would be surprised if that were to happen tomorrow.
Well, you know, Howie has been known to make some miracles happen, so you never know. We'll see. Hey, listen, real before I let you go, I like these quarterbacks, man. And I know you can't really listen to anything you hear before or thereafter because it's all just misinformation and disinformation. But the big thing that stands out to me, whether it's Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, I'm going to exclude Josh Allen. I just don't know enough about him, and I don't watch Wyoming tape. So all four other guys were really highly productive, winning quarterbacks in high level, and they all played in big games. That's what people usually look for all that they're being knocked. I think these are at least four of the five are really good prospects.
Yeah, and you know how this goes. Everybody is going to get knocked down and nitpicked, and last year's class wasn't supposed to be good, but then you look at it a year later, and now all of a sudden all of those teams that took a quarterback in the first round, all of which were traded up for, by the way, all those teams feel pretty good with Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky and lastly Deshaun Watson. All three of those guys feel like they're going to be pretty good starters in the NFL. And I think when you look at this group, I think you can envision scenarios where Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, they have areas where they are able to thrive in the NFL. And I think you look at them and they all have very admirable traits. I'm a big fan of Sam Darnold. I think I've got the most faith in him in terms of being able to transition well to the NFL. There are certainly things to clean up. I wouldn't put him on the status of where Carson Wentz was coming out of North Dakota State. But you look at Sam Darnold, and I think he's got a lot of the traits needed to succeed. You look at Josh Rosen physically, I think he's got everything you want on the field for him to succeed. There's some medical things there that you're going to want to worry about. But overall, Josh Rosen is very exciting. All these guys, I think, have a lot of admirable traits that I think translate very well to the NFL. It's going to be very interesting to see where they land because, as you know, that's going to be a large chunk of one of the reasons why they either succeed or fail in the NFL.
No doubt about it. Friend, you're the best, man. Thanks. And I know you got a huge weekend coming up. I really appreciate a few minutes here, more than a few. I kept you up past your bedtime. So thank you so much. What do you got coming up on the website? Anything you want to tell us about?
Yeah, so we got Eagles Draft Central on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the Eagles mobile app, all the social sites as well. So You can stay tuned for that 7 o'clock on Thursday night. So a ton of draft coverage will be live whenever the Eagles make a pick. We'll be breaking down film. We'll be talking to the player, talking to coaches. It'll be a good time. So you can stay tuned for that on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
We'll be watching, brother. Appreciate it, man. Have a good night.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
See you soon. Fran Duffy from PhiladelphiaEagles.com.